the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the glorious ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to the right hand of God the Father. Having completed his mission on earth, having condescended to become one of us, to take on our human nature, having laid aside his privileges as God and emptied himself, as it were, to become a servant for you and for me, and paid this price that we can't even find words to describe. And he defeated death. He defeated the devil. He defeated all evil. The devil threw everything he had to throw against him, and he defeated all of it for your sakes and for mine. And for the sake of all mankind, every human being ever that has ever existed, he did this for each and every one of us. And he did not fail his mission. He finished what he came to accomplish. And we celebrate the finality of that today. On this, the ascension of our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ. About this feast, St. Gregory Palamas writes, "The Jews kept the feast of the Passover, the crossing from Egypt to the land of Palestine, as laid down in their law, and we have celebrated the gospel Pascha, the passage of our human nature in Christ from death to life. What words can express the superiority of this celebration over the solemnities of the old law and the events commemorated on its holy days? No one can adequately state how much more excellent it is. The inhypostatic wisdom of the Most High Father, God's pre-eternal Word, who is beyond all being, who was united with us in his love for mankind and lived among us, has now revealed through his actions a cause for celebration even more distinctly superior than Easter's excellence. For we now celebrate the transition of our nature in him, not just from the subterranean regions up to the earth, but from the earth to the heaven of heavens, to the throne above the heavens of him who rules over all." St. Gregory Palamas, a very profound statement on just how significant this feast is. 40 days after Pascha, the resurrected Christ ascends into heaven. During those 40 days, and these are mentioned in Acts 1, verse 3, according to the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts, the departure of the Lord took place on the Mount of Olives, near Bethany. And one of the things that we see in this event is the joy of the apostles. One might think that they were having to say goodbye a second time, and that they would be sad, maybe shedding tears even. But that's not what we see at all, and this is not what is reflected in the iconography of this event. To the contrary, we see that the apostles have this great sense of joy, a great sense of joy, despite being separated momentarily, temporarily, from our Lord Jesus Christ. They are jubilant, for they have seen the victory that Christ has accomplished. And on the eve of his passion, our Lord said in John 16:20, "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." He had predicted this. Whoever has seen the resurrected Christ with his eyes knows perfect joy, a joy without a shadow. A joy, as John 17:22 says, no one can take away. So the apostles met the resurrected Christ, and for 40 days he appeared to them and conversed with them, shared their meals, bestowed his peace on them. He promised the gift of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and now they get to witness his glorious return to the Father. And what happened in this ascent, this ascension? What happened? He took our human nature into the heavenly holy of holies. As Bishop Basil, His Grace Bishop Basil, said many years ago in a homily that he preached, he took dirt into heaven. And that dirt has become, my dear friends, our only hope. Because it is that once for all perfect sacrifice that glorified human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, He who took on our human nature for our salvation, that is the hope that we have. That is the only hope we have for eternal life. That is the only sacrifice for our sins that will be accepted on the throne of God. But you better believe it is accepted. The only question of acceptance really is on our end, isn't it? Do we accept this gift? Because the gift is there. The work has been done. He who has ascended into the right hand of the Father, there's nothing left for Him to do for His part. But for our part, we have to open our hearts to the work that comes from this, so that that might be fleshed out in each and every one of our lives. Even though we are sinners, we have the privilege of, in a sense, like the apostles, being witnesses of the resurrection. Not physically, obviously, but we are aware of it. We have experienced it liturgically, going through the Passion of Holy Week. All of these events in the life of Christ have been spilled, as it were, into the liturgical life of the church. And those things are alive. And the Holy Spirit brings those things alive to you and to me if we will enter those services with the eye of faith. So in the icon of this event, we see the apostles, you know, gazing at Christ as He ascends to the right hand of the Father. And it's interesting because, you know, to be considered an apostle, you had to have witnessed the resurrection. And one of the persons that's enumerated in at least some of the icons of this event, maybe all of them, I'm not sure, is St. Paul. St. Paul the Apostle, the great apostle. Even though he could not possibly have been there when the ascension actually took place, but he had recognized, he had witnessed the resurrection of Christ because of his encounter with Him on the road to Damascus and elsewhere. So he is included among the apostles. And we, in a sense, have the unspeakable privilege of saying that we ourselves have, in a very small way, experienced being in the presence of the reality of His resurrection. That is what we've been celebrating. That is what we just said goodbye to. We just said goodbye to Pascha. Last evening we had Vespers for the leave-taking of the Paschal season. And that's always a little bit sad to me, you know, to say goodbye, because we all love Pascha. But, you know, we've got to keep going. And this cycle, and we know the cycle of services in the Orthodox Church, take us somewhere. They will take us somewhere if we let them. So it's time to contemplate other things, because God's grace and mercy is poured out and given to us in, as Mother Caritina up in Pennsylvania said many years ago, in doses that we can handle. So today we rejoice. We rejoice that God has become man for our salvation. We rejoice that He has ascended, having defeated sin, Satan, and death, that He has ascended to the right hand of the Father, that He has taken our human nature into heaven. It is now that once for all perfect sacrifice of His body and of His blood. It is now, He has now glorified our human nature and made it acceptable, an acceptable offering. And we find our life in that. It is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. So today is a day of great rejoicing. It is a day where we can can relish the very the great reality that our Lord accomplished what he came to accomplish. He has left nothing undone so that we might have a place in his kingdom. Dearly beloved, let us not take this for granted. Let us not, as St. Paul wrote in Hebrews, neglect so great a salvation. Let us open our hearts to the reality of God's work in us so that our lives can be transformed, so that we can become men and women of God and live lives that are an acceptable offering to the one true God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.